episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Good evening, good morning, good everything from Australia. Welcome to wherever you are on Bongversations episode number 20. And we're going to, this is on the, my date is the 22nd of December 2024, and Dave's on the 21st of December 2024. 21st. Hey, yep. Man, how are you, Dave? And I'm looking forward to the show. It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Great Christmas movie, because we've got Christmas in 3 days or 4 days, right? Or whatever. 3 days for me. Right. Fantastic, man. And I'm just going to let you just go boom as you do. Go boom. Well,
I was thinking first to talk about the idea of just the fallen idea of Christmas. The idea is if you look at what is being celebrated, and there is a way to identify the idea. Like, say, for example, with the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, at the very beginning, there's just a big bell, a Liberty bell. Think of a Liberty bell. And it's because it's the Liberty Film Company. The idea, if you take a look at Liberty Bell, is that it's, you know who's going to love this next number? Because it's going to show up a few times, is that from the Highlands. The typo character from the Highlands will love the. Yeah, he'll love this. Yeah, Typo Error is going to love this next little bit of information.
Shout out to Typo Error. Shout out to Typo
Error. The Liberty Bell was 70% copper. It's your 7-cup. He loves when I mention the 7. And it's 25% 10, which is also a 7. And then, of course, the final 5. Yeah, the final 5% is gold, silver, lead, and zinc. Little metal. That, of course, is your double 7, the idea of the 5 or the senses. Notice that the Liberty Bell, upon the story is upon being struck, it cracked, broke, so it became useless, purpose. And the idea of liberty, this is the idea of happening, the idea of emancipation, the idea of it's a wonderful life. And George character.
James Stewart.
He's going to be Jimmy Stewart. Yeah, he's going to be, and he's one of the boys. You know, he picture of the old islands that he's doing. So just they're all Hollywood, but within Leviticus 25:10, it's the idea of this jubilee, which is proclaiming liberty throughout all the land and until then. So it's the idea of a emancipation from a prison. And in George's case, he is racked with guilt. All right? Guilt. So before we get to that guilt and kind of explore what happened with It's a Wonderful Life and the redemption aspect of the story, let's first look at what God, G-O-D, that this character is praying to during the story. The only time, and Jesus does not come up, Christ comes up at the very end only when they sing a song. However, he mentions God. He mentions God in his downfall, like when he's heading towards a decision, and he mentions God at towards the end of the or towards deliverance, let's say. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk to you about the five gates that the so-called Catholic Church, which is Catholic, evangelicals, Protestants, all those that worship these fallen ideas of Saturnalia, which is happening.
Yeah. And 3 days, 3 days, 2 days time for me and 3 days for you. Yeah.
Well, it's Saturnalia started the 17th. It's really a week. Okay. It's really a week long festival that deals with everything that you associate with so-called Christmas is in fact Saturnalia. The idea of giving gifts, the idea of merriment, the idea of public drinks. Meeting for drinks, all that, and also the idea, and this goes into what we've talked about in previous shows, is the idea of the swap of responsibility. The servant becomes the master for the day. Social norms are turned on their head. The idea, and so it's the idea of forgetting who one is, even for a brief moment. Yep. This is going to come into play as in the movie, but. To get to the point is that there's five gates supposedly being opened. These are just doors with different ideas attached. Jubilee year, which is going to be a Catholic Jubilee year. Now, what you'll find interesting about this idea with the Jubilee is that they advertise the idea of forgiveness in full if you follow certain steps. If you pledge allegiance to the Pope, if you admit your so-called sins in a box to another person sitting across, a confessor, these are all foreign ideas. These are all earthly ideas of put it out into the into the public space or into the public air, even to one that then you can be forgiven. So then these characters, so they're presenting this idea of liberty and letting. And this is also seen in sometimes when people will talk about the idea of jubilee as far as money. This is not a money jubilee where you're taken away or your debts. This is a spiritual jubilee. And anytime there's a spiritual jubilee, I look for, they are invoking for that delivery. So, and it's very easy to tell if we look at St. Peter's Basilica, the Rabbitica prison, the St. Mary's Major Basilica, St. Paul's outside the walls, and St. John's Lateran Basilica. Those are the five so-called locations of the gates. And if you look for the centroid, which I showed you some numbers before, and I'll put them, if I put this up on YouTube, I'll put the actual latitude and longitude of each of these places. But if you go to the centroid of all of those, you wind up right at within less than a mile. That's pretty good GPS of the Temple of Saturn.
So there you go.
So then the Temple of Saturn, so then this idea of Satan or Saturn, or the idea of the ring timekeeper, right?
Yeah.
The one who, the keeping. So then now this is the so-called God. And that's also the God of this world, the angel in the world. That is the idea of the Satan. That is, so then you have all of these different evangelical Catholics, Protestants, all the other subgroups, Jesuits, all the different monks and sure monks and whatnot and half monks. All of those are laity of the so-called Ashkenazi or fallen Jew, the revelation that used that word, but are not. And Ashkenazi, you can't spell Ashkenazi without saying Nazi. So then that's the part of Europe where the so-called Germans, people like them. So these are the so-called Ashkenazi. So then they are in the same character. That are the spirit of Cain, and also their father is in fact the devil or the liar, or the that's why they control the so-called movies, music, books, popular
banks.
Books and fiction,
banks,
everything that makes the so-called world go around is, and of course, you, if you want to find something outside of that loop, you have to go to a swap meet. You have to go to mail order. You have to do something that's outside of the control grid, because the control grid is this system, which is actually happening this week. And just like with the so-called the Jewish Hanukkah, which starts on the 25th as well. So you have a lot of things lining up here that in a lot of years don't.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to just point that out, because within the movie, George mentions God twice, but I want to say that God that he is worshiping, and what the movie pushes men and women to, and by the end, is that they are going to be worshiping a pile of money. The very last scene is a pile of money.
There you go.
And so, jumping back to the beginning, so they introduce you to the George character, and when he first, so he's just a, he's, you know, they'll introduce you when he's a child. And to do that, they're going to introduce first the bell, the Liberty Bell, or the false idea. Then they're going to take you out into space, and they're going to have the actual galaxy's idea talking to each other. They are angels, right? Yeah. Now, what's interesting about this angels idea is the recognition of who these angels are is in the script and in the dialogue, to mention it to you, but let's keep going. So then George Bailey, who's your main character, which is the idea of Jimmy Stewart. This is a directed by Frank Capra. This is one, and he's also known for bringing a lot of
'50s, yeah,
a military type filming. So then he's bringing in this idea. Just so it's clear, this film is going to present the idea of a life for a man post so-called WW2 era. It's going to say, this is what you should do to be successful.
Do a thing.
So then let's look at this. So George saves Harry, which you have to remember, because if he doesn't, a certain act can't happen later, and during that he saves him from falling into the ice, and of course he it affects his left ear, which is important. Then later he's working as a kind of a malt boy, errand boy at Mr. Gower's pharmacy. And he notices that there's a wire on the register. He reads it. And that the Mr. Gower got some bad news. So Mr. Gower's in there crying his eyes out, trying to fill these capsules, right? And old George notices, man, it's huge. You can't miss it when you're watching the film. It says poison on there. So he's like, hey, Mr. Gower, you know, I think you put some, you know, I think you put something, you know, and he's like, get out of here. So he runs and he goes out an idea that goes into the idea of father. The idea of bringing daddy home, kind of what movies bring daddy home. Well, he goes out and he looks up at a poster and it says, ask dad, he knows. Right. So then that's the idea of prayer. So he runs over and he introduces him, and you get introduced into his father, who is running the family business, building a loan business, which is kind of the only other thing in competition to the
bank.
Yeah. And so you have the kind of these general characters, you know, and the bank character is played by Barrymore, Lionel Barrymore, who is, of course, Drew Barrymore. So it's kind of,
they're Hollywood royalty, Barrymore. Mm.
Yeah, so you saw. Yeah, so you see that kind of nepotism just rolls through. So then, so he notices, or he has his first with the banker character, or you know, kind of the Mr. Potter. And so he has his first interaction, and he stands up for his dad in this. So that already sets up this idea that Mr. Potter already knows a little. It right? So then later in the movie, it's going to make sense why Mr. turns on him so quickly and so drastic. So then, yeah. So what happens is George is, he's one of those dudes who he gives up college. He does all this stuff. He stays in town so that his brother can go off to college. So he's now ready to go see the world. And one of my favorite scenes is when he's there to pick up the suitcase, mm-hmm. was brought by Mr. Gower, because when he saved him, when Mr. Gower putting that poison in the capsules, of course that saved someone from. So Mr. Gower, of course, all these years later, is now, of course, he's successful. His place is, you know, through the roof. And of course, so he buys him this suitcase. And what I like about the scene was that, he's talking about going out, knowing what he has, his family business, knowing there's responsibility. However, he has the itch to travel. He wants to smell the spices of America. And he wants to, you know, walk the streets of and he's going to be doing that all riding a cattle boat. Notice cattle boat is the idea of the. Well, guess what's going to happen? You know, any movie that starts out too nice and friendly and where the main character is too happy, something's going to happen. Right, so all his fancy plans come to a big crash when he has to take over the family business, right? So now all of a sudden this idea of youthful imagination, which is one of those things which is also spoken about in Miracle on 34th Street, the idea of imagination, of a place you can go and exist that is separate from the physical place or the real world. So then. He has to put all these different plans on. He's going to come. So he puts all these plans on hold, runs the business. He gets it back online. And he winds up, of course, getting married to Mary. There, of course, is your idea of Mary name and the idea of, Rose. Do you remember how the Rose plays? And we'll get to that. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Very, very significant. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, we'll get to why, because it's little things you look at as far as just a clue to where you're at. And I'll mention that as well with the snow. So you have, is that how you also remember watching it?
When I tell you now, Dave, I haven't watched it for a long time, and I wasn't as awake as I am now when I watched it, so I didn't. All these things you're saying are new to me, but I do remember the rose, the suitcase, and
Next time you watch it, you'll be like, you'll see it differently.
I guarantee it'll be on TV on Friday night. Tuesday or Wednesday, guaranteed. It's on every year,
year. Well, what happened was in 1974. This is what the story goes. They supposedly it went on to the. It became public, and from 1974 to 1993, it could be aired without giving monetary royalties. Yeah. Well, that's of course just a story, because the reason being is while it was a so-called failure, only making 3.3, not to make a magic number, million at the box office, right?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, that just says everything straight away.
Yeah, yeah. So it makes 3.3. It's a flop. It comes back on TV, and once it was on TV, it became. All right. So kind of like everyone, you're looking back now as being popular, but when it first came out, it wasn't. So it's the idea of what then are they trying to say or sell is a better way to what trying to be sold, and that's kind of what we're looking at next. Kind of winds up being frustrated. He's frustrated. He's stuck in this town, Bedford Falls. You know, it's this idyllic, you know, little New York. He's stuck there. He wants to be somewhere else. So then he goes through all the jumps through all the hoops while his buddies are off to college and getting into plastics and all kinds of different, you know, adventurous ideas and making money. He's stuck with this building and loan. So they selling houses. And this is where the idea comes, where you're training a generation of
people.
So, so you watch this movie. So you're expected to have your job, get married, buy the house,
consume, and then have more babies and consume more.
But also, it's
they live in another way, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. And then, but also live within these kind of forced, fake, little societies or a suburb. The whole idea of the suburb. The whole idea of the being. So then what happens is you'll get introduced to a whole cast of, one of the characters is his uncle Billy, and he's just very forgetful. You know, he's always putting ribbons around his fingers, and that's one of the finger. He winds up losing eight large. He goes to the bank. He's running his mouth to the corrupt banker old Mr. Potter, who's wheeling in and you know, he has a little worm assistant too that's right next to him that's very, keep an eye on him during the movie, see him up to a couple shenanigans. But back to Uncle Billy is talking to Mr. Potter, and in his stupidity, in his emptiness, he hands Mr. Potter $8,000. Doesn't realize it. Goes up to the window. These are the receipts. He goes in to put it in. They're like, "What are you doing?" He's, "Oh, I lost." So he loses the money. Well, guess what? The bank examiner, and George is down $8,000. Mr. Potter's like, "Well, you're just a warped, frustrated young man. You're just gonna have to figure out where that $8,000 went, or I'm gonna get you on." Embezzling, I'm going to get you on this, I'm going to get you on the other. So then the George character runs off. He's mad. This is where it's kind of good. Nobody's going to jump.
Nah.
But, all right, so he's running. He's gets himself low. He goes to Martini's, which is the bar. In fact, he sold a house to Martini's movie. He goes to Martini's low. He's sitting there crying, and then he starts to pray. "I'm not a praying man." This, that, and then he says, "God."
Yeah.
What happens is, this is quite interesting. I won't ruin the little thing, but he winds up getting punched, and I won't ruin why, because there's a little story there. But you have to see, because what winds up happening is he blames then God for getting punched in the mouth. So it's like it's one of these things that's like insult to injury. So now he's just trying to make it to the bridge to jump off. That's what his plan is. And Clarence, who is waiting in the wings, what's the idea of a guardian angel? Now, a guardian angel is, angels across the board are only treated in the manner that it shows in this movie, as someone who's right there kind of, you know, moving and getting you. That's kind of an Old Testament idea. It deals with more with Kabbalah, deals more with Talmud. The Christian, what is assigned is that they're going to be messaging. They're going to be offering you, "You're going to do this. This is what's going to happen." It's a different type. So, and also the Christian idea is that you're being watched, or you will have an angel, more the idea of one that is outside of your sight, meaning that what happens is not in the idea of Clarence. So Clarence is clear to him, presented. He winds up jumping into the water that causes George to George Bailey, James Stewart, to rescue him, brings him into the place, and they start to dry off, and they start to communicate. And Clarence, of course, tells him, "Hey, I'm Clarence Oddbody, Angel Second Class, A2, called AS2, Angel." So then, Angel Second Class. The idea is he's without. And this is where the little sign is. Remember, you're waiting to see who these characters are?
Yeah, yeah.
James Stewart says, "Oh, so then you're more like a fucking name."
Oh.
Ah, see?
It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So then.
That's giving it away straight away. So I'd never picked up on that, Dave.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. So we're going to. And just remember that all this is over that 8 lives that Uncle Billy wound up losing.
Yeah.
So this is all about money. Just remember that, really. Because he has he complains about an old drafty house. He complains about unhappy or kind of not being happy in town. But he's got everything that he's got, the children, he's got the wife, he's got the nice house. He's a, you know, even earlier when they're talking, when with the scenes with the dad, they're well off. They got. You know, so it's not like the guy's suffering. So then, so what happens is what Clarence, and this is also interesting, is that the book Clarence is carrying with him is the idea of Tom Sawyer. Now, Tom Sawyer is the idea of dream, a meandering dream. The idea of, then, if the idea of a stream or a sine wave. Right. So then that, or just simply life. So from point A to point B, you have in between those points, you have experience. And so what he does is he brings him through several experiences, as if he had never been born. Right. So he wasn't going to kill himself. So he's like, okay, well, what if I just was never born in the first? You got your way. All of a sudden the snow stops falling. That's like a sign you can see out the.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
So then now you know you're in the movie, you know, since you're in a different place.
Realm. Yeah.
So they head out and everything looks generally the same. Of course, the car that he ran into the tree is no longer there. And he goes to what was Martini's bar before. And I'll let you figure it out. It's something else now. But he goes in and everybody's acting. Nobody knows who he is. And every time he realizes, Clarence annoyingly says, "That's because you're not born." You know, he keeps annoying him. So he gets even more frantic and frantic after all these different experiences of he runs into Bert, you know, the cop and the taxi driver, Bert and Ernie. What's that called? The little puppets? Bert and Ernie?
Yeah. Hey, Bert.
Hey, Bert.
Ernie and Bert. Yeah.
Bert and Ernie.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so and so one is the taxi driver, one is the cop, like the cop of the town. And so
That's right. So
you have their interaction at the beginning. You know they know all. The second interaction, you have Bert shooting at old George running down the street, you know, so it's a big time difference in the way that these people operate. Also, instead of being in Bedford Falls, they're now in Pottersville. And it's got a bunch of hoochie dancers, bars, you know, all kinds of cops on the street. What you see now in a modern a U.S. city, downtown is. It looks very much like Broad Street, Broadway. If you ever get to San Francisco, man, it looks just like. So
the location would have been in a studio, wouldn't it? One of the Paramount.
For the first part, they're using small town, and some is used for the studio.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes you use a studio and sometimes you use simple B-reel. Be Real is simply just going under buildings that might not necessarily even be in that area, and you just take footage of it. And you usually do it from a lower angle, and it's the magic
of Hollywood is just incredible. You know what they can make you believe. But if you're sharp eyed like you and me, actually, kind of, you can spot. Hang on, that's not there, and that's not there. You know, but they've done it. They seamlessly edit the stuff together. It's brilliant.
So it's just just movies are just the idea of flashing images to you to kind of give you reason to watch the next scene or to have some sort of reference.
Yeah.
Now remember to go back to before I forget about this and kind of when he's starting to get when George before he decides to get into all this he talks to his one daughter because she was not feeling good. She had this dying rose in her, and she said, "Oh, I don't want to sleep because I want to watch my rose." So he puts it in water, but a couple of the petals, and she goes, "Put it on, paste it." So instead of putting it on, he bends over and he puts it into his pocket on his pants, which is called a watch pocket. It's specifically called a watch pocket for a reason. That's going to come up at the end. But he calls them Zuzu. Well, her name is. He calls it Zuzu petals. Zuzu petals. This is important because when you go back to when Clarence is talking to him, saying you're not, you've never, he looks to his watch pocket, and Clarence says they're not there. He goes, what's not there? Zuzu petals. They're not there. You haven't been born yet, or you were never born. Now you know Zuzu. You've heard of Pazuzu. We back in The Exorcist, also So so that just like the Fallen Angels reference,
look straight away. So you got two big. Those are that's not a coincidence.
No
way that's a coincidence.
And then also you have the idea of the rose. You have the idea of the rose, and in Latin, sub rosa is the idea of under silence or the idea of confession. Remember,
and Rosicrucian, everything.
Yeah,
the holy, the cross and the rose. It's all over the place.
Yeah, and you also have the idea of spoiler, which is the idea of a lot of these different buildings you see that are rebuilt. The idea of reuse or pasting it.
Yeah,
the idea of pasting.
Yeah,
it's spoiler. So spoila, spoiler. The idea of repurposing. So then we've talked. So Pazuzu, just so you know, Pazuzu, just like Alfred Hitchcock, Pazuzu, or the idea of the prince of the air or the god of this world, Pazuzu's going to wind up to be the king of the demons, the idea of the prince of the demons. Yeah, any way you go about it, whether you go through the Greek or the Romans or the so-called Jewish or the demiurge, whatever route you take, it's going to wind up being the same thing. It's the devil. It's the idea of the devil. It's the idea of Satan, period. So now you know who the God is that George is
talking about.
All right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So now let's continue through. So now George, he winds up figuring it out. He in Pottersville. So he's hauling ass out of town. He's running back to the bridge. Clarence. You know, he's yelling for Clarence because he was telling Clarence to beat feet the whole time, but now he needs him. Clarence. I want to live. And he's like muttering on the. I want to live. I want to live. Right when he says God, it starts snowing again.
Yeah.
Now it starts snowing. That's the idea of S and now, 19 now. The idea also of being the idea of being ice or frozen or the idea of hell. All right. So now that's like three times we've found a clue to who actually he's concerning himself with. Now, Bert, the guy who had shooting at him a scene before, drives up, and now, of course, it starts to snow. He's back in modern so-called time, and Bert runs out. Hey, you know, he, are you okay? Okay. And George Bailey's about to try and take a swing at him. And he's like, oh, hey. And then all of a sudden, that's where George starts running down. You have the scene of Merry Christmas, Emporium. Merry Christmas, you wonderful savings and loan. That you've seen that, you know, a bunch of times where he's running down the middle yelling and all that. Well, what that happens is he winds up back in the crib. The bank examiner's waiting for him and the cops. He's looking for his family. He gets everybody together. They wind up in the tree and his wife, Mary. Idea. Now, this isn't because Mary, church idea, is the idea of the false idol. Because it's a constant prayer to Mary. Well, that's the idea of the rose as well. And of course, we already discussed what God were talking about. So therefore,
that's right.
Goes
back to the white goddess as well.
Yeah,
you know, way before, you know, a very old symbolic, which is the Catholic Church is definitely a goddess worship, goddess worship, Isis.
Yeah, because I put the Catholic Church is nothing. It has nothing. See, Christ is just, or Jesus Christ is just a name that it could be anything, because they're actually idol worship. Just by the fact that they idol worship, that's what they do. All the different idols, they literally put up idols, and they worship them. So they're idol worshippers. It's like, you know exactly who they are. So then the Protestants, the evangelicals, are laity, the Jews are laity of Satan. Satan is the god of this world, who is in fact the one we're talking about. Now guess how then the character of George gets his manifestation of, you know, kind of, what's the best word? His how does he get his the table up before him? Yeah, how does he get his groove back? Table before him starts to fill up with money, because people come in just throwing money on the table. Oh, I wouldn't have a house for you, and this and that. And the housekeeper said, I was saving this for my divorce if I ever got married. But, you know, little corny jokes like that. And then they put all the money in. Of course, he makes back the money, and the cop rips the ticket in half, and even the bank examiner chucks in $5. So you notice that at the end of all this, that this guy is going to end it all stuff over 8 large. Literally, at no point were you supposed to remember that this guy comes from a very nice family. His brother is a national hero at that point, who has plenty of his hee-haw friend in industry. Guess what? Wired in. And Typo is going to love this one as well. $25,000. That's your seven. So he had more than. To me, when there's such a disparity between the details, it's like it's meant to say, okay, don't look at it there. That's not what it's meant. That's not what the story's about. The story's about something else. So then, once George put his faith into his God, which was Mammon, it started to pile up before him.
Yeah, worshiping money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the idea of, at the end, where bell ring and the little demon girl, who, you know, everybody looks at the little picture on the cover and they're, oh, it's so cute. But now they know the truth. So anyway, she goes, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Well, that's the idea of switching the thinking that man, the idea of a man or mortal man, gets his wings and he becomes an angel. And that's completely, that has nothing to do with zero. That's an alien. One is not the other. That's like a not become a dog. You know, so then that's like at the very end, right when they got kind of crying and everything else, they jab you with another. fake out, which then, you know, so then, and just so you know, Rick, a lot of these false ideas are the ones that then are the splinters in the mind that keep you from balance and keep you from rest.
Yeah.
Because they're like, what about that? That doesn't make sense. Well, because it won't make sense if you keep falling or wrong ideas in your temple when you're trying to figure out what this place is and how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
Yeah, so that was a quick kind of in and out. There's a few characters, of course, that I left out, so I didn't ruin the story for most.
You've exposed an agenda in that movie quite blatantly, really. It's interesting that they use it, because I suddenly, as you were saying, Zuzu, remember, the kids used to have these Zuzu pets, these sort of little electronic dolls, and they're called Zuzu pets. And all of a sudden I thought, he mentioned that before, because it's Pazuzu. It's the same thing. If it sounds like it, it is it.
Well, it's all. Well, it's just even written. It's written like that. Several words. It's also written O Z O Z. The idea of Oz.
Yes. Yeah.
And Z O Z O. It's all.
Yeah.
It's all hidden in the same way, because
that was. Yeah, Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven had the logo Zozo written across it, yeah.
So that's the same entity. They were working for the same power, same exact power.
And you wouldn't think it two polar opposite movies, The Exorcist or It's a Wonderful Life. But no, yes, there is. There's a big link.
Yes, well, yeah, there's even the link even within The Exorcist 3, where at the beginning, if you remember, where the embodiment of the priest who's walking, you kind of see this first person camera view where the camera is the eye and you hear the breathing. And during that scene, there's rose petals. And if you listen, the character says, "Damien, I have dreams of a rose and a falling down, a long flight of steps." Yeah, so that's exactly. So he mentioned. So the
same names, Rose.
Yeah,
falling down. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, the idea, and it also goes to the idea within Song of Solomon. Also deals with roses and lilies, in the Song of Solomon. You go.
Lily related to Lilith? Do you think? Is it, you know?
Yeah, well, it depends. If you're speaking about the spiritual idea, yes. Otherwise, you're speaking about the idea of flower, which kind of it does have medicinal uses. But if you're speaking about the idea of Lilith, it's not necessarily exactly the same kind of thing.
Okay.
But Lily does have healing properties, where Lilith is nothing really more than a succubus. Yeah, the idea of the female spirit that sucks the life from you.
Yep.
Usually through...
They're out there.
Usually through the idea of carnal, biblical knowledge, and which is why when you go to Pottersville, you'll see that the main street tone changes, where you have all the... and the neon.
The snow falling is a key.
Well, the snow falling is in so-called life. It stops falling when they're in the Pottersville. So that's like that's like I'm standing still. You weren't born, so your time to he wants to live again. It starts to snow. As soon as he says God, it starts to snow again. As soon as he says God, it starts snowing again. So it's there is timing there. Meant to show you, and of course we already talked about who that was. The end table started to fill with money, and if you notice, and this is only you'll see only if you look at the act, watch it. It's either one of his kids, Peter, is surrounding the money pile, kind of singing "Auld Lang Syne." And he's grabbing like a fistful of money, looking at him. It's the shared corruption. It's the idea of passing on to the next generation.
It's very symbolic.
Yeah, it's very quick scene. So if you're watching the scene and they'll center on the pile of money, look to your bottom, you're going to see it's either Peter Tommy, one of his so-called sons, George Bailey, is grabbing that money. You notice looking at it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
George Bailey is GB, and that's 9, isn't it?
Yeah.
The initials.
Sure is. There. Yep. Well, there's 7. It's the 7-2 code. A lot of people will see it as the 7-2. I know that. I know that. Typo error. No, he sees the 7-2 code. He said something.
Yeah,
he says he likes to. He said he also enjoyed the fact that when we talked about last week how with invaders that the pinky finger is represented by the idea of the Zion. Or the mind, or the idea of 7. He really enjoyed learning that fact.
It's fantastic. There's a lot of people learning some interesting stuff off these conversations. Been a really fantastic part of the last half of the year, because how many we've done? 20. That's 20 weeks in a row.
Oh yeah.
Right on the dot, I turn up. You know, within half an hour of thereabouts, or whatever. And Dave's there. He's always there. And we just shoot the breeze, and boom, he knocks it out of the park every episode. So it's been really been a great year, Dave, for the last what would you call it? The last half of it, I guess, for the conversations, kind of exposing a lot of stuff that you had in your head. A lot of stuff that you had in your head that you know to put it out consecutively, and now we're gonna We'll keep talking about movies and stuff, but I think books the next year, we'll definitely focus on some books. And I was bringing one up last night. Someone was mentioning one last night. Arthur C. Clarke's, the one about the children getting taken away. What's it called?
It's a book.
Yeah, it's one of Arthur C. Clarke's books about it's Childhood's End, I think. Childhood's End.
I haven't read through that one. No,
you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. But anyway, keep going, Dave. Whatever.
Well, I was just going to say, just to remember, we were talking about the 72 idea. 7-2. Mm-hmm. That's also the idea. Now bells do not particularly big role in the New Testament, although they do show up as being a bell on a horse idea. It's more like if bell is used, it's going to be concerning the belly, like your literal belly. Now, where bells does come in is in the Old Testament, the idea of the so-called priests would be wearing these where they have 72, well, it's 72 positions. It's intermixed with bells and pomegranate, little ornaments. So you have 36 pairs. So that's the idea of that's where the so-called Catholic folks get their idea of all these different adornments that they wear and the different chains with the smoke on it and all this crazy stuff. They're getting all that juice stuff. Old Testament Jew stuff. So they're just quite frankly repurposing.
Ooh.
You know, so that's another where the 72 comes in, and where it's specific. It's specifically that's the number to be used.
72 code.
Yeah.
GB.
Yeah.
GB.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so also if you want to look at the idea of who this character is, this Pazuzu, the idea, really Samuel. Yeah, the idea, Samuel's the idea of an same as
Samuel. Yeah, yeah, well, it's got the name in it. Yeah.
Now, there's a Samuel, which is Samuel books 1 and 2, which is something completely different. But how that where it kind of, well, actually, everything connects. But with the Samuel books 1 and 2, he's a judge. And thus, he's what's called the last judge. Now, that's important. the last judge, because and within the book of Samuel, that's where you also, you know, stories about lots of different kind of a lot of TV for adventure have been taken from stories of Samuel. Now, Samuel, which is the idea of angel, this is the idea of the devil character who shows up in Book of Job. The one who says, he only loves you because he has everything. Do you notice how when George thought he lost everything, he was going to do him?
Yeah. So it ties in with that.
I know.
Archetype used in a movie.
At that moment, however, because I know this personally, there's a knock on the door. However, there's a knock and an echo, because there's two knocks at the same time. One is the true way out, which is through my Lord Jesus Christ. The second is to fall back into the system of this God care, who will bring you into financial stability. Because I had that same personal choice that was offered me spiritually. And it's the same choice that's shown in this bridge. He, however, as you notice at the end, goes to the other side. He goes back to the comfort.
Yeah.
And that's manifest simply by the scene. It's at the very end to get back to the watch pocket, because he pulls Zuzu petals, which kind of rounds the story out. A guy comes up, and you're like, they're just throwing money, you know, into the thing. A gold pocket watch, long chain, like a gold pocket watch, which would go right into that pocket where Zuzu pedaled. Well, a gold pocket watch is nothing more than Saturn or Satan, or the timekeeper. You see now then that was a symbol of his spirit or attachment to life here, to his daughter specifically, Zuzu, then became a place of holding of the gold watch, meaning really in Masonic terms, you got given the gold watch.
Yeah.
So you see how this story is, although very...
And it's an allegory.
Yeah. So they're very good at using music and scenes and misdirection to show you a false idea. However, if you see through it, then all of this emotional kind of power of mourning, these movies try to get you to do is to emote to them, it will be lost. And in fact, you can tell how far, you know, confused you are by how much these movies grab you. If they no longer grab you, then you're past the actual different ideas. You know? If you're still emoting and crying and weeping and wailing, then whatever, think about getting rid of them, you know? And, you know, and I wanted to go back to Jeremiah 10 and before we kind of finish this up. And if you talk about, the idea of the Christmas tree, right? And people ask, you know, this, that, what's the point of it? What's the use of it? Yes. One, it's an idol. It serves no purpose. But then it says, if you go to the actual, if you go to Jeremiah 10, if you go, verses 1-5, it literally tells you about the Christmas tree. And I'll read just 1-5. You'll see that hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Now, when I say this is Israel or not, is not, it's not the idea of some,
is real or is not
real? Or is it not real? Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. Do not be dismayed, signs of heaven. Meaning, don't be dismayed by the lights. For the heathen are dismayed. meaning that they're confused, Marmot, but you're not, because you know they're used for time. And once you know what they're used for and you observe them, you for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest and work with hands of the workmen with an axe, cutting the tree down. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it move not. You put in the tree and golden. They are upright. Yeah, they are upright as a palm tree, meaning they stand straight up, but they speak not. They must need not to be born because they cannot go. Be not, and so it says, do not be afraid of them because they cannot do evil, but neither can they do good. Meaning that to celebrate it, it's not doing anything necessarily evil, but it's not, it's absolutely doing nothing.
It's for sure.
It's simply a waste of time.
It's nothing. It's a nothing thing.
It's nothing. So Jeremiah 10 tells you exactly what it describes the Christmas tree. So it's not.
There's so many different versions, and you know what they say it means and stuff like that. But that, you're right. It's like a false idol, basically.
Well, and then it also goes back to Saturnalia, because that is the same decorations they use for Saturnalia. It happens at the same time of year. So really all anyone is doing who tree and presence and giving and king and merriment and blah, blah, blah. You're just you're just celebrating Saturnalia.
Yeah, and
as long as you know that,
Bacchanalia with the drinking.
Yeah, as long as you know that, then that's fine. But don't pretend you're celebrating the birth of Christ and all this stuff in the middle of winter. You know, come on, stop it. It's just ridiculous. It's just people looking for an excuse to.
You should try living over here, Dave. When we had I've grown up for 60 years now. With fake snow, Christmas carols about jingle bells and things like that. And it's hot. It's 32, 33 degrees, of temperature on average Christmas.
Well, going back to the jingle bells, you just mentioned it. To the bells and the pomegranates, the reason that they would put those so that you hear the so-called holy man down the street towards you so you can come out and give him an alms.
Yeah.
And so then that's the idea. It's really just the idea of the court jester. It's the idea of causing attention to be given to you, and really forcing people through, through peer pressure, to give. It's like you might know this, Rick, that once a year, you have 300, let's say you have 300.
Yeah.
For argument's sake. And one day out of that year, they go to a soup kitchen to feed some guy, day-old bread and some soup. And they put on this little apron and they smile at him. And why did they do that? They do that to feed that guy? Or did they do that so that they can go home feeling good about themselves? Because that guy still has to eat sick. The rest of them days.
The rest of the year. Oh, no, I've picked up on this, Dave. There's a lot of people, they live this life of mammon and worship of money. And one day a year they go off and to make themselves feel better about themselves and feed the homeless or do whatever. And I always look at it like, how about the rest of the year? Why not? I know it's nice you did it on one day of the year, but how about this guy needs to eat tomorrow, the next day?
That's what annoyed me as a kid. I was a child. I was walking around saying, "Why do these people pretend to be nice to each other
for one day
every year, and then for the rest of the year they're a-holes?"
It's true. I've picked up on that too. I have the same. I've got. People I know that would do that, they're quite wealthy and they go off and they volunteer at these church, some of the churches that do this stuff also I do not trust whatsoever. They're there only for the money that they're making. They hand out a little bit for sometimes, but the rest of them, I think they're all the directors. They're making huge sums of money. Supposedly. Well,
yeah, but that's business. You know that. I mean, business.
Yeah,
business.
It's true.
What we're doing right now is church. That's what the meaning of is. Not going to a building. Kind of, that's two separate issues. That's just business. I mean, if someone goes to a place like that and they give them money, almost, I don't separate that from going to the carnival. It's no different. It's no different to go to a cathedral or church building.
Or go to Disneyland. Or go to Disneyland. Mr. Frog's Wild Ride. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Yeah. Same thing. You might as well just go to Disney. Money. If that's what you're going to do. Yeah. At least you get some enjoyment, or go to the movie or something. If you're going to waste, you know, get something back for, you know, otherwise, just walk up, hand it to somebody, and walk away.
Walk away.
Literally, that's how you give it to somebody. That's how charity works, is you walk up, you hand it to away. Yep. You don't bother yourself with any of that. No. Because that, then if anything else comes into the equation, it changes. Charity is simply giving without care. Here you go, boom, walk.
Yeah.
That's it. Everything after that is perversion, complicated, simple idea. And that's how it went in the Philippines when I do, I pay for the project to get done. If I talk to my brother-in-law, you want to get those lights here, bing. We want to put the pump in, bing, 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 we want to set it up.
Yeah, you're providing real water nourishment.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing an amazing job, Dave. That's a real credit to you. So that's what I call real work.
Yeah,
never mind all the other stuff, but that's real work. You're helping people.
And
that's what we're here for. That's all.
Yeah, so I asked them to draw up a plan. They give me we do it. We pay. We get the materials all paid for and picked up. It helps. Small, but it creates an economy, and the area that we live in, Fiesta now, so it's actually, we're on the map. So it's been a long project, started in 19, but it's still going on, and we're more
fantastic, man.
It's going great. Let's just say that things are moving along, but things take time, because when I got there, it was literally grass. That's my wife.
Yeah.
So we had to put down concrete floors, because if somebody's grass house gets blown away by wind, as long as the concrete floor's there, we can have it up in the next day, because everybody gets together. We have it set to where we can make almost like prefab walls. We lay down the bamboo slits. We lay them down. Yeah. We put the palm fronds down. Boom, boom, boom. Lay them down. Tack them together.
Yep.
Just fold it up. You have the sides up, and you can have the roof up in the same day, because it's the floor is still there, and the kitchen. Because what we do is we pour a concrete kitchen, like sink, a countertop, and then of course the floor for the entire. You know,
do you put? Do you have? Does it have like plumbing?
Not all. Most don't. Most you're going to be using like a DR.
It's incredible in this, you know, we're in 2024 now, that there's so, like I was at Vanuatu about 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I got off the plane, 3-hour flight from Sydney, and I was looking at, there's some nice resorts everywhere, but the general population there, extremely healthy and happy, very tribal. But they were living in what you would call exactly what you took, just, you know, very disposable dwellings. And every time there's a big wind or a whatever, it gets wiped out. And it's only for the grace of God and other people that can quickly help rebuild the thing. But you've got to have a base. That's where the concrete, you're right. The base is the most important. Just like in your spiritual life, a base.
Right.
If you don't have a base, you're not going to be able to stand.
Correct. I was very happy. That was kind of like the idea we came up with many years ago. Let's just at least sitting. Boom. And I tell you what, as soon as you put those floors up or the walls up and you put mm-hmm. your mat back down, you're sleeping there that. So it's very quick turnaround.
Well, life is all about that, isn't it? It's just you've got to have somewhere that you've got to be able to sleep and be able to get fresh water mm-hmm. and have somewhere you can, you know, relax. It's a very simple equation.
Yeah, we also
someone's got to be there to help them do it.
Yeah, we also put a cinder block building together.
It's fantastic.
Impenetrable. It's not going anywhere. That's used whenever there's a real big storm. Everyone from around the area who actually comes and bivouacs there.
Do you see fellow ex-Navy, you know, where you are, or are you well away from the boat?
Luckily, I don't see any of them. I very rarely see. There is an Australian guy a ways down. He's much farther down. He's like maybe 20 minutes down the beach. He's down there, but he's very rare. And then there is an English guy who's in the main side of the main pole, CAPU. He's there more often.
Mm-hmm.
A little kind of a seasick. It wasn't bad, but I think it was just probably a little too early for that project because they haven't traveled yet. You know, in a few years, we just now got a to where you can you don't have to huff it through the forest or through the jungle, I should say. The jungle, wow.
The jungle in the Philippines is very, very hard. It's when I say hard, there's some all sorts of. It's not the most comfortable place to sleep. You need to find somewhere extremely or know what you're doing when you're sleeping.
We have a couple of places. Like we have a couple of. If we're going to walk, especially towards Kapol, and we're going to split the island, we're going to walk called the mountain. We're going to walk up that. We have a place up there. Anybody can use it. Place where it's elevated, so it's off the ground, and it has bamboo pylons, so it's off the ground.
Ground,
you don't have to worry about, you know, anything getting you because sturdy roof, and then that's open for anybody. But the reason I have it, I need it sometimes. We were doing a project upside. That's what. But that's maintained as well all the time.
Fantastic. Yeah. I just noticed you're dropping, and hopefully this will come out clear, but you are dropping out a little bit of the last 5 minutes. But what we've discussed that we've absolutely exposed the It's a Wonderful Life. Well, you certainly have. Do you want to talk about a Christmas smoke or something that you picked up to relax with over have you got a portal to relaxation to
a discuss? Portal, yes, I do. I have what I have is, and I think it's the same as what was called Cac Kush last year. I almost want to think that they kind of did a switcheroo on the label and just called it something different this week, but it's very similar to Cactus. Still, it's fine. It's It's a great bud, but the anything with the idea of Kush is kind of like tonight. You notice it will give you the munchies if you need it. If you want the munchies, you can definitely get it with Cactus. And the idea is that it's going to be mostly sativa, about 80% sativa, 20%. I'm sorry, 80% indica, 20% sativa. So the indica side will definitely get you. Some people get tired with it. Some people get the munchies with it. Some people get the giggle with it. You know, things like
that. I like that one. I like the giggles bit.
Yeah. Well, it helps you. It's one of those that if you have anxiety, pain, like arthritis type pain, it helps.
helps. That's me. That's me. Dave, mm-hmm. That's me. That's me. 100%.
Then you should definitely try some cactus strain. Yeah. So it's Afghani. And I've talked about Northern Lights Orbeez a while back, a couple weeks ago. But the cross between the, and it's got a nice, it taste. So sweet on, sometimes that doesn't transfer from what you smell in the smoke taste, but this one yeah. does sweet taste on it. So I'm enjoying it. It's really nice. Fantastic. And uplifting. It's uplifting without making it excitable. You know, and sometimes you'll get one and you'll say, oh, and then I was doing this and then I was doing that. And then, you know, it's like that's a little bit different than uplifting. That's excitable. Uplifting is more that you can keep a positive light on what you're talking about.
So I just have to mention this quite humorous story. Mm. A friend of mine from quite a long time ago came up and stayed on Friday night at my house on his way up to see his children or grandchildren up in Queensland. And he pulled in and we, you know, sat and had a couple of beers and he was smoking away. He's a big man. He loves his sativa big time.
Oh, nice.
But anyway, we were talking. I asked him about a mutual friend and he said, shaking his head saying, he's completely mad. He's just, he's got hold of now chocolate infused with magic mushroom.
Oh.
And he said, well, apparently it's fantastic, but so he'd been complaining that no one wants to talk to him and no one bothers to visit him anymore. And so he came over and they went to they were going to a concert there's an American, a friend of mine brings over some, what you call obscure musicians from America. And it's kind of Diesel Billy, if you can imagine that one. There's some famous, he's famous in Texas, whatever, or it could be from Arizona, I don't know. But anyway, they said, well, we'll go. And he said, look, well, he goes, I've got this great chocolate. He goes, you have one piece and you're all right, but if you have a few, you're all over the place. And right. So he said, well, can you give us a piece? So I gave him a piece. He ate it. And he said about 15 minutes later, he's walking into this party and all of a sudden, all he could see was almost elves. Everything was going all over the place. And the guy walked, and this guy's a computer guy. Like you'd be able to speak his lingo. He's an Apple expert, right? And the guy walked up and said, how you going, man? He goes, and he just sat there and he had to put his hands on his head. And he goes, there's too much input, too much input. And everything was rushing and he was said everything was wrong. He could see people jumping around. Probably saw the elves that were pushing.
Oh, yeah, you'll definitely see them.
He went up to this guy and he said, you told me just one piece would be enough. It would just be fine. He goes, no, I gave you four pieces, but they melted together. And he'd eaten four.
Yeah, that's going.
And he said there was nothing he could do to be able to concentrate, but he went and had something else. He had a couple of big lines of something else that's kind of natural, but it brought back to normal. But I was just laughing to say, you know, because those things, if you're not in the right space to deal, especially the mushroom, you've got to be in the right space. You cannot be with a whole lot of crazy people all going over the place. And
you got to have a plan.
I love you know, where the best stories I've heard, my cousin was in coaching football and the desert area, it's one of the big universities in America, and they were going out to the desert doing shrooms, as he called them, shrooms. And he said that was the perfect place to do the stuff. There's the desert because you've got this expanse of it's warm, beautiful rock formations.
Well, you can hoot and holler without people.
Exactly. Exactly. And funnily enough, The Simpsons, if you remember the episode where Homer takes mushrooms and he has he's tripping, it's in the desert and he's seeing all this amazing stuff. But I find it, I've had them in Thailand and I thought they were absolutely fantastic. But I didn't have this effect of like seeing elves and things crawling out of walls and stuff, but it can happen.
Yeah, you got to be ready for that one for sure.
You got to have someone like you, though, or someone that knows to go, hang on, just chill out. Come outside, look at that tree over there. Just check that tree out. or sit under that tree, and I'll come and talk to you in a minute and just let yourself relax. You've got to have a helper. You can't just do.
You have to have a
guide too. Guide.
Yeah, you should have a destination and plan. It's like
where do you want to go?
What are you looking for? Because you're going to find it, and you might not like what you're looking for.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lesson.
You're going to learn a lesson. Sure. Man, yep. I did that. Well, I did that 7 grand.
You're telling me that's what made me think about it. Because he was telling me the story, and I was going, I've heard the same story before.
Check this out. Lake Tahoe, this would have been in 2010. I was still working in semiconductor. Yep. I was up at Lake Tahoe on skiing trip, and we're at the lodge and I'm drinking my hot chocolate, and I had just taken a brownie, which was
large.
And man, I looked over at this dude over in the corner, and then that was one of the first times I saw the mask. And I said, Larry. And he's like looking at me, and he's just smiling, and everything's exaggerated. I'm like, dude, it's not funny. That is a demon. And Larry's looking at him, and he's looking at me. He's like, what dude? It's like, that dude right there at the edge. And he's like, I was like, dude, we got to go because he's walking. And then, so man, we get out, and I'm halfway up the and I'm still looking back for this joker, because that was really one of the first times I saw it. The second time really in that hemp con, when I saw more than a few all in the same room.
That's the story. Yeah. That's an episode. Yeah. I think three of Bongversations or two of Bongversations.
Yeah.
Might have been episode one. That's a really good story. Really good story. Yeah. Anyone that's listening, go back and listen to the beginning. Number one or two, you'll get
That's like the prerequisite. It's like you have to get through the numbers so that you're not conned by people who say that they don't matter. It's they don't matter to them because they haven't done the work to figure out why they're used. But then you have to ask yourself, why is it that 7 is in absolutely every single one of these stories, every one of them, whether it be in the Bible, whether it be in the news, TV.
Yeah, I'm sitting there. We've all said, even Abon Fakeologist.
Yeah.
He says that it's got the 7 code, and guess where he got that one from?
Do you know who I first talked about that and got to look into it was Peter of the Jungle Surfer. He's from somewhere.
He is. Yeah. He's from Queensland or Melbourne. I think he's in one of the two.
I taught him.
He was fantastic. I don't know if he's still around. I think he might be.
No, he's around. Yeah, I taught him the 7 code, and it took me years though. It took me years of beating it into him. Finally, he's like, "Oh, dude, I see it." So once he saw that, he was off. So now he's very getting it and talking about. Sometimes you have to keep going, man.
You're the godfather of high level esotericism.
Well,
hear Crow 777. When he mentions you, it's with reverence. He doesn't mention you like he knows how good you are, and he knows how dangerous you can be on a live chat. Except for the Bongversations, you've seen Dave J 20 episodes of being totally relaxed. Totally relaxed. Right,
as long as you don't try to throw a corpse on my back. I'm like a wild. I'm like, slowly I turn, inch by inch.
By inch. Don't call me dude.
So I think we did great week.
Yeah, we did. We done it, man. And I think at the last song, I was thinking, at this time of year, I do like every now and then hearing a Christian hymn, and I love "O Holy Night." I think it's called "O Holy Night." I'm not sure who's going to do this version, but we'll probably sign off with a Christmas hymn for this time of period. For those of you who understand where you're standing in this right this time of year. Yes, you're, yeah. A lot of it is basically Saturnalian, Bacchanalian, gift-giving and timekeeping. But there is, to a lot of people, it has a kind of a Christian meaning still to this day.
Yeah, to me, though, however, yeah, to, yeah, I agree I'm with sure. that statement. To me, however, I participate in, but I don't None even do birthdays, so I'm.
Dave, look, as
I don't
got,
do any of it.
From, as soon as I hit 50, maybe yeah. even later, earlier than that, I hate birthdays. I don't care about them, and it's timekeeping. And you know, there is a symbology: the cake, your birth, the day. Yeah. It's all basically being you're in the system. You well, celebrate your birthday. You're in the
I
system.
Came to realize this. I came to realize this. I'm alive forever. So why do I need to worry about
birthday? Exactly. Who cares? And this numbers bullshit. And yeah. you know, you're a certain age. Like, age nope. to me is like, it's got, it's all bad. It's all bad. You just got to live for the day. Live for the day and do your work. And there's one man out there, I'm talking to him right now, who does real work. And he does this kind of work where we're talking about the stuff, and he does a lot of digital stuff, but he's actually out there helping real people on a
absolutely. That's all we can do,
Dave,
man.
Dave, we'll sign out soon, but on this, okay. The 22nd here, and it's 6:11, right on the dot.
Yeah, I'll send out the bot.
You send out the bot, man, and we'll listen to Oh Holy Night. I'll find out a great version. It's a beautiful, beautiful hymn this time of year. Thanks, Dave. And Dave, it's been a real 20 weeks of a really enjoyable show every Sunday. We're both as reliable as each other, and I like that. We're totally reliable. Yeah. There's nothing worse than unreliability. I don't like it. And you are not that person. You're there, you're ready to go, and you're always on form. So Merry Christmas to you. I know it doesn't mean nothing, but in the spirit of the word. Yeah, and thanks, Dave. We'll send the bot out. We'll have a quick chat.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night was born. Oh.